Friends, this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show episode number 180, recording this on Sunday, July 2nd, 2006. Welcome. Thank you for downloading the show. I must tell you right at the top of the show right now, if you hear any explosions in the background that may sound like gunshots or explosions, don't worry. It's only my obnoxious neighbors setting off their fireworks. Of course, it's the July 4th celebration here in North America, which is the celebrating the independence from the from England, and they set off fireworks to celebrate that. So that may or may not be happening in the background, but I just want to let you know what that was. So you downloaded the show, and you probably were surprised to even see a show here. For those of you who are pretty in touch with the Xbox Live community, I know a lot of you guys and girls are, but this was a particularly rough week for nobody else but me. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about. So let me just do a quick high-level recap. About a week and a half ago, maybe it was actually even more than that. I don't know. I don't have the harp music to show the going back in time like most shows do. But there goes one. There's a few. A couple weeks ago, there was an announcement made that a particular piece of content was going to be available on the Xbox Live Marketplace. I figure we'll get this out of the way right at the top of the show so we can just move on. And that date came and went, and the community was getting... some of the members of the community were getting pretty violent. I think violent, if you can get violent in cyberspace, I think they were. They were getting pretty upset about the lack of information around the release of this demo. And of course, we're talking about the title Prey. So I made a post up on my blog earlier this week, or last week, I should say, about last Tuesday, I think, is when I did it. And where that stemmed from was really all about trying to explain to folks as best that I can where content is. And let me explain this. So the post itself, and I'll for some of you, I'll kind of highlight what the post said. The post title was called "Where Is?" and then insert title here, ?? And that's really around a lot of the internet boards who are always posting, "Where is Street Fighter 2? Or where is the Prey demo? What's going on? How come, where is it? You promised us a date," you know, pounding hand into fist. And what I tried to explain in this post, in what I thought was a fairly straightforward manner, in a non-condescending way, that, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And so I don't want to read the post bit for bit, but let me tell you what's going on. So unfortunately, there was a date that was announced for this specific demo, and no one at Microsoft announced this date, and the publisher announced the date. And then unfortunately, that date came and went. And as I said earlier, people were getting upset that wasn't there. And unfortunately, I must explain something. I am obviously by far one of the most visible and/or accessible persons in the Xbox community that works on the Xbox team. You know, I have the blog, and you know, you guys are posting thousands of comments a month on the blog, and it's there's a lot of challenge to what I'm doing, because sometimes I can't say as much as I'd like to say. So that's why I wanted to post that post earlier in the week, trying to explain kind of the very high level what happens. And there's a lot of people that have been demanding, and I love that, they demand to know what happened. Well, unfortunately, that's not the way it works. For a lot of different reasons, one of the primary ones is the fact that, well, I'm under an NDA. If you don't know what that is, I'll put a link on the blog to explain what an NDA is. And I can't really tell you exactly what happens in the process of getting a game demo onto the marketplace. There's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of it is trade secrets. And we don't want any of our friends at any other console manufacturers to be able to replicate any of that. I'm sure they could probably figure it out, but I'm not about to make it easy for them. So basically, let me get back on track here. I'm kind of rambling, but basically the demo was not available, and it was in the process of going through the process. And there was the process of getting a game onto the marketplace, or excuse me, a demo onto the marketplace, is very, very complex through the certification process, getting it onto the servers, and so on and so forth. And then ultimately, flipping the bits and making it available so that you at home can see it in the marketplace and click your A button and start to download it. There's a lot of pieces that happen to fall in place. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, my team, or where I sit, I see about the last centimeter of a many, many kilometer, or if you want to convert it to the North America, I see the last inch of a many, many mile process. And the last inch or the last centimeter is when it comes to the Xbox Live Marketplace, and ta-da, it's there. So my friend E, and I think you've heard me talk about E kind of frequently in the past, who's our operations manager, he has described, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, so apologize, E. Making video games is kind of like making sausage. You really don't want to see how it's made. You just really kind of want to enjoy the final results. And that's kind of that's kind of true in a lot of cases, but more so with video games. It's a very lengthy process, and there's some of the parts you can't speed up, some of them you just can't. There's just a lot of things that has to happen. So for those of you that tuned in trying to get a very, very specific idea of what happened, as I said earlier, I'm not going to be able to share that. It's unfortunate. I'll just say that it took longer, and I think George over at 3D Realm said this, it took longer than anticipated to go through certification. That's the story. Nothing more, nothing less. It's pretty straightforward. Unfortunately, I wasn't the one that announced the date, so I couldn't have really said anything, and so kind of have to look at our friends, the publishing partners, to communicate anything like that. And again, it's not even our content. We're just kind of part of the process. Also, the other thing I want to point out is that there's a lot of folks in marketing or promotions, not just Xbox, but like at different companies, that maybe say a date, and unfortunately they're not very close to the process, and maybe they're trying to say a date so they can get the right promotion on GameSpot or IGN or maybe an OXM, because OXM goes to print, many months before, so it's tough to kind of figure out where, exactly how the process is going to proceed as smoothly as possible over the coming months. And sometimes these marketers and these advertisers give a date that and that's why I said in this post, I shudder when they give a date. And it's because sometimes that date is not attainable, not through anybody's fault. It's just that it's a complex process. And sometimes dates can be hit, and sometimes dates can be missed. That's the beauty of software development, unfortunately. So I apologize for the angst that everyone had. I trust me when I tell you that we did our best, and I think it's pretty evident when we violated one of our self-imposed rules, which was we don't prop content. We say propping because that's like the term of putting it on the servers. We don't put content on the servers on Friday because we just want to make sure everything's running smooth for the weekend. Well, a lot of the folks around here, including me screaming, they read the blog, they read the forums, they know exactly what's going on. This content team or the product team at Xbox Live is so in touch with the community. I mean, they're looking at forums, they're looking at blogs, they're looking at the joystick, they're looking at everything they could possibly look at. And they realize that, you know what, we need to do whatever we can do. So once the product was handed off to us, we did everything we could to get it up on Friday, and that's ultimately what we did. It's frustrating. It's frustrating that we didn't have any more information because we didn't know where it was, and it's not like I could walk down the hallway and say the certification department what's going on, because they're not even in our building. They're nowhere near. I don't even know where they are. I know it's frustrating, but we're doing the best we can. Suffice it to say, I think everyone learned a lot from this, and I think one of the key learnings is don't give a date. So if you're a publisher, if you're out there and you're developing a game, I don't care what platform it's on, if you're going to be putting it up on a marketplace, I wouldn't give a date. Also, the other thing I want to point out, I think I've gone on 10 minutes about that already. I also want to point out some frequent visitors to my blog have noticed that it's been overrun with just venom. And people that want to attack me, it's amazing. I woke up one morning and all of a sudden I was public enemy number one. And then come Friday afternoon, I was, you know, the best guy on the planet. Look, I don't want to take credit for any of this. My role, ever since I started doing my blog, was really just to allow you, the customers and anybody that's there interested, to give you a glimpse inside the Xbox organization and try to have a conversation. And that's really what it's all about. I think everyone will notice that, except for the first couple months when I had a blog where I didn't even have the ability to have comments on, I've always had comments on and available. And that's because I like the conversation. Blogs are about having a conversation and a dialogue. I love well-written responses, and that's what I enjoy the most, is seeing some of them. I read as many of the comments as I can, and I really enjoy seeing the well-thought-out posts with opposing views, because, again, I like the conversation. What I don't like are immature comments that don't add value to any of the conversation. And that's what really frustrates me, is that some of the more immature readers will just post garbage. And that's what really frustrates me. In fact, Thursday night, when this was all kind of coming to a head, we shut the comments off for a couple hours because we're actually doing a blog upgrade, so we had to shut them off. But it was actually very convenient that we had to do the blog upgrade while we were because the comments were off. But I don't like the immature comments that add no value to the conversation. As I said earlier, I want to have the conversation with everybody. I talked about in a podcast that I was on Thursday night, Gamer Andy, and I'll talk about that later on. With Gamer Andy, I was talking about how we're working, Lithion, the gentleman behind the blog, and I are working on a much better method for posting. Unfortunately, and this is actually a true story, Lithion's machine died, so we put up some Google ads on the site because hopefully we can get some money for him to get a machine. Of course, I've sent him a video card, and we're scrapping one together. So if anybody has any hardware out there they want to donate to the Lithion Developer Fund so that he can build the machine and we can start getting the site where we need to be, let me know. Drop me an email at major@xbox.com. Anyway, so that's kind of the overview of what's going on with the blog. You know, it's originally when I started doing the blog and the show, it was a kind of a quiet conversation that I was having with, it felt like just a few hundred people. Well, over the past 6 or 8 months, or probably even longer, probably the past year or so, it's really elevated, and we're getting like 1.5 million hits a day. I'm getting thousands and thousands of downloads of this show. It's gone to a different level, and there's different expectations around it. But rest assured, I must tell you, the Xbox Live team, these guys and girls are so interested in what you have to say. That's why my blog is there. They look at my blog. They look in the forums at forums.xbox.com. You know, they take the feedback from our fantastic MVP program, and they really try to feed it back into us because we're trying to do the best we can because we want to build the best product we can out there for you guys. So keep that in mind. Also, very important, speaking of the MVPs, there was I know those guys work at the forums.xbox.com and are working in there, and they were saying that we don't usually prop content on Fridays, and that's because that's what we told them. So this was just to put a fine point on it, this was a self-imposed we don't prop content on Friday, and we'll continue to do that. We made this special exception because the content became available to us, and it was a long holiday weekend here in North America, the July 4th weekend, and we wanted to do the right thing. So let's go. Let's continue on, and just suffice it to say that when content is available, I will post immediately. So please don't send me an email or send me an Xbox Live message saying, Major, what's going on with Street Fighter 2? Because I'm clearly not going to be able to tell you, because then if I told you something that wasn't public, you'd take it, put it in a forum, and nobody would believe you anyway. So it's a lose-lose. But I will share all the information that I have with any of the titles the moment it becomes available. Please believe me. I think I've proved that many, many times. As I said earlier, I've got a little bit of a, I look at the last few inches of this many mile or many kilometer trip that the content makes through the entire process and before it lands on the Xbox Live Marketplace. All right, there we go. Suffice it to say we moved forward. So, please understand sometimes there's issues beyond my control. If you can't understand that, I'm sorry. Just remember, I'll always do my best, and sometimes there's things that are beyond my control. So thank you for understanding that. All right, let's move forward. So I'm going to jump in. I have an interview this week with Dave Weller, and Dave is kind of the Major Nelson for the developer community. So whereas I talk to you guys, some consumers, and there's some developers, Dave does the same thing. He works handling community for developers. So let me roll that interview for you right now. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Larry.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's a beautiful, warm afternoon here in Seattle.
One of those rare ones. So you are, my guest today is Dave Weller. And Dave, your title is the Game Development Community Manager.
That's correct.
What does that mean?
Well, really,
and how come no one knows who you are, that people listening to this podcast who aren't working in the community go, who is this guy?
All right. So really, I'm kind of lurking, you know, I'm that man behind the curtains. I think that just about every game developer is. I mean, you sit down, you have a really great game experience.
Right.
Any game that you play on the 360, for instance, behind all that is, you know, hundreds, if not sometimes thousands of developers and content creators who have put a lot of effort into actually building a game.
Right.
My focus really is to help enable those types of developers get answers through our official organization, either do it in an informal type of basis or in a more formal basis by working through our engineering teams. So in some ways, I'm kind of the conduit. In most ways, I'm like, you know, kind of that little helper guy that people just always run to.
So you're, you know, we talked about this before we started recording, but you're kind of the Major Nelson, I'll use quotes, of the game development community.
That is correct. That's pretty darn close to it. Yes.
I mean, me as Major Nelson, I'm working in the community, talking to our customers and our people that own the Xbox 360 and are playing games, and I'm communicating with them what's going on and helping them understand the best I can explain to them what's going on. Some people just don't want to listen.
You have that problem too.
But you work directly, you know, my audience is customers and your audience is developers.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, I like to think of it as that, I'm really very strategically focused. And when I say that, what I mean is that people that are, I always think that my best customers are the people who are in high school, who are in college, who are just starting to learn how to do programming. And they look up to these games that you have on here, like a great Far Cry is a great example, for instance.
Right.
Ghost Recon, those types of games. And they say, wow, I really want to write that kind of game. I really want to do the next really cool thing. Viva Pinata, do something that's just really nice and educational that kids would like even.
Right.
The point is that, people turn to me and they'll come and say, hey, how is it that I go about doing this? Where are my first steps? How can I get started?
Right.
And I love helping people understand how to go through those first steps.
So let's start with that. So people are probably listening to the show right now and thinking they want to get into game developer, whether they're in high school or maybe they're in college now, and they really have gotten bitten by the, I want to be the, you know, the man behind the curtain writing the game. Where do they go? What do they do? What kind of resources can I point them to?
You know, so first of all, there's a lot of good resources out on the internet, not just at Microsoft's site. There's lots of other places on the internet as well.
Right.
On our site, we have the best entry point, the lowest cost entry point right now is through Windows Game Development. And the reason being there is because there's no cost associated at all with starting off and building DirectX-based games.
Right.
And actually learning the experience, sharing it with your friends, learning new technologies, because everything that you learn building a game that way will actually translate to be able to build 360-based games.
So let's be clear. So you actually deal with not only Xbox 360 developers, but you also deal with PC game developers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, and when you say our site, where is that? What's the URL?
So we have a couple. The primary URL for DirectX, for instance,
right,
is msdn.com/directx.
Okay,
that's the Microsoft Developer Network, and that's primarily focused for developers that are working on Windows-based games.
Yep.
For the Xbox-based games, it's a little bit trickier right now. Right now, if you want to actually be an Xbox developer, there's kind of a pretty steep hump you have to get across,
yeah,
to get into the Registered Developer Program. And that's not really for individuals. That's for game development studios that are just getting started. They've got a, you know, chunk of money that they're willing to put up, sign the legal paperwork and stuff with Microsoft, and then they can purchase an Xbox 360 developer kit and they can get started doing that. Obviously, if you make that kind of investment, you already know how to write games. You already have some established track record at doing it.
Yeah, so that's kind of the, for lack of a better term, that's when you're a junior or a senior in development. So if you're a freshman or a sophomore just coming in, you probably, it's best to learn how to write a Windows game.
It is. But what we are also doing is very shortly, we're going to be having some announcements related to what we call XNA.
Right, XNA, of course.
XNA is really a very exciting technology. And in fact, I just made a blog post about a couple of hours ago.
Well, hold on, your blog.
Yes, my blog.
Let's pimp it.
All right, let's pimp it. So my blog is letskilldave.com.
Okay.
And Let's Kill Dave is my Xbox Live gamer tag. Good. So
I forgot to ask you that. Thank you for reminding. Yeah. I always ask that. I totally forgot. We started off a little different.
Exactly. Yeah. So feel free, you know, if you go out there and you find me online, feel free to send me an invite. I've got just about every Xbox 360 game, and I love competition. So Let's Kill Dave. And that's pretty much the way it works, too.
So anyway, so you tell me about your blog.
Yeah. So what I did was I created the... I put out a post there today that gave a little bit of some tidbits about what we call the XNA framework. And what we're really doing is we're trying to create an environment such that you can target both Windows and the Xbox 360. So you write one game and you're able to deploy to both platforms. Now, exactly how that's going to be done, we haven't announced that yet. We're still working the details out, so there's not a whole lot of information I can provide about that. But we're really, really excited about where this is going. And we're really excited about the announcements we're going to have coming later this summer. So stay tuned. That's about the best I can say.
That's great. So I actually saw a little bit of this when we were at GDC.
Exactly.
And the guys walked me through how they had an application, a game where it was like a sphere, it was like Earth, and there were plant. What was that called?
Culture. The name of that game was called Culture.
Culture, right.
Yes.
And it was you basically planted things, and they were running it on the code was running on a PC as well as a 360, and the games looked identical.
Exactly. And they are identical, really. In fact, they are running identical code. There's no difference in the code. You write the one code, and it works on the 360, and it works on Windows at the same time.
So you're a good person to ask this question. So why then when a game comes out, why is it released maybe on Windows before the 360? Or more importantly, why is there a lot more process around the Xbox 360 version?
That's a simple question that has a complicated answer, but let me try and clear up a couple things.
Okay.
First of all, it's not always the case that a game comes out on Windows before it comes out on the Xbox 360.
Okay.
And in fact, we're kind of seeing that's kind of moving back and forth. You'll see some games that'll come on 360 before they actually come on Windows. A lot of times you'll see them releasing at the same time. The entire process for doing that, the entire process for actually building a game and getting it published is very, very lengthy.
Right.
Obviously, there's a lot of development work that has to go into place. There's a quality assurance step that has to go into place. And then there's that other step to where it goes through Microsoft. So once it comes into Microsoft, there's a quality assurance phase that we go through.
Yep.
Then it has to move into where if, for instance, it's a live game that you can download through Live, there's a staging process we have to go through where they do a separate quality check on it. So it can be a lengthy process. And sometimes, you know, the games don't always get out there exactly when the publisher expects it to.
Right. Also, I mean, probably when they send a game in, maybe it's not going to pass.
There have been a few times when a publisher has said, "Here, Microsoft, our game is ready to go. Let's get it through the retail channels, and we run it through, and it doesn't pass the test." There are an enormous number of criteria. We call these things TCRs.
Right.
And there's an enormous number of TCRs that you absolutely must support in order for your game to get the blessing as being either a retail game or an Xbox Live arcade type of
right.
game. And we do that because we want a very consistent experience. When you put in an Xbox 360 DVD, we want you to have a very consistent experience across all the games. That includes the experience of multiplayer support, the experience of Xbox Live. I mean, I think you've talked about this before with your community before. But,
It's always good to because people think that, well, it's just a game. We can, you know, it's a PC game. Why can't they just release on the Xbox 360? And it's a different tract.
It is a different track. Really, it's more along the lines of the infrastructure. It's along the lines of, for instance, how well are you supporting HDTV, for instance.
Right.
HDTV resolutions are still not very common in the Windows side of the world. You have larger and smaller resolutions, but the actual resolution for HDTV isn't. So what happens is that you have to make sure that you have really good fit and finish so it feels like an Xbox game.
Right. That makes sense. All right. Well, let's get that part. So let's talk more about some of what you do with the developers. So you really help them in everything from how does this DirectX API call down to, you know, how does this work? I mean, you're handling a multitude of questions.
I am. You know, to be perfectly honest, you know, the biggest problem is that I'm kind of an ocean of knowledge that's about 3 inches deep.
Okay.
I'm like a consultant in the game business.
Right.
When I find that someone's asking a question that I don't know the answer to, I have a great set of resources here inside of Microsoft. within the game technology group where I can turn to them and say, hey, here's a question that's been asked. How do we get this answered? And we can sit down and actually go through and figure it out. It varies depending upon who's asking the question. If you're a first party or a tier one type of company and you're building the next big game for the Xbox 360, you're going to get some pretty fast love. If you're just a kid in high school that has a general question about how to do something, it might take a little bit longer for us to get an answer.
And it's not that we don't want to answer that high school question. It's just that we only have so many, there's only so many Daves.
There's only, that's exactly right. There's only so many Daves. But the other thing too is that I do have MVPs.
Yep.
Are very technically focused, and they're very capable of doing that. So there's actually a game development forums that we have on MSDN, and the URL is not easy to speak over the microphone, so we'll just have to offer that link.
That link from you.
But we have a... We have several forums out there that are available, so like even a beginner's forum, so you can go out there and ask questions there.
Right.
If you're uncomfortable about posting on a Microsoft-sponsored forum, I would recommend that you look at a website like gamedev.net.
Mm-hmm.
Great place, very, very helpful people, and it turns out that a lot of the people that are administrators on that website are also my MVPs as well. So
it's a small gaming world. When you make the jump to the inside of the industry, it's very small.
We are a very incestuous bunch, that's for sure.
It's interesting that... because I find that as well when I'm dealing with a lot of people in the industry is, you're over there now. It's just the way any industry is. So, but it's really fascinating because, you know, I talk to our customers and the consumers, and you are exactly, you and I are almost back to back, where I'm looking at the consumer landscape and you're looking out at the developer landscape, which are a different part of our consumers.
I think so. I mean, and yes, that is absolutely true. But the other thing to keep in mind though is that one of the things that I find is absolutely 100% consistent across the board at all game studios with all game developers is they are gamers too.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is that I know a lot of people that do game development that read your blog, for instance.
Right.
And simply because they want to stay in tune with what's coming in the gaming industry as well. And a great way to actually get that feel and that experience is to actually read your blog.
Yeah. Well, as of late, it's been quite crazy. what are the areas that you know, we talked about how you work on the Xbox 360 and Vista or Windows, which is coming to be Vista.
Correct.
Still games for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the new things that we can expect when Vista comes along? I mean, we've talked DirectX 10, and you have Vista installed in your machine, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm a Vista junkie. I've been using Vista exclusively, actually, at work for about 4 months now.
Uh-huh.
And before that, I had split machines. I had one machine that was running XP and the other one running Vista.
And have you installed a bunch of games on it yet?
Yeah, I absolutely do. We actually have an organization within what's called the app compatibility team,
right.
And they actually test several hundred games, different tier one and tier two games.
Right.
They're very aggressive about doing this, and the idea, of course, is to make sure that when Windows Vista releases, that the experience you get with your games is just as good, if not better, than it was with Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, very serious about that. But I'm really, really excited about what we have with all of our graphics technologies around Windows Vista. Of course, it's going beyond what you have with the Xbox 360, but we're really excited about the entire experience you can get. The Windows device driver model, I'm sorry, the Windows display driver model,
mm-hmm.
Offers an enormous number of benefits in terms of how your graphics driver is actually running. And that, you know, that sounds all kind of mumbo-jumbo, but how does that really translate to someone that's a gamer? What kind of experience does it really mean for them? And the real big answer here is that anyone that's been running with Windows 2000 or Windows XP is familiar with the famous blue screen of death.
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Well, yeah, exactly. So one of the things that most people don't really know is that approximately 98% of all blue screens of death are directly related to graphics drivers.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it's really quite fascinating. Every time that you get that little dialogue that pops up and it says, click here to send this information to Microsoft, when you do that and you send that to us, it gives us additional information about understanding exactly where the problems are at.
And 98% of it is graphics.
98% of them are graphics driver problems. And it's not because the graphics vendors, you know, our IHVs are careless or they don't really care about the experience.
Right.
They do. It's just that the way that the kernel mode the kernel mode drivers worked inside of Windows XP and inside of Windows 2000, it basically had to achieve privileges too often up into the kernel mode. So what's happening now is with the Windows display driver model, we've dramatically reduced that surface area where it actually has to move into that kernel mode, and at the same time dramatically improve the overall performance capabilities of it. So what we're doing now is that we've made tremendous steps at eliminating, or at least dramatically reducing, the number of opportunities you have to get a blue screen of death. I think that's really, really important in terms of the sense of being a gamer. I mean, I've experienced blue screens of death myself, and I really find them annoying. On the same hand, we also expect that DirectX 9-based games are going to have a better experience as well, more smoother operation, mm-hmm. Faster performance even. So we're really quite excited about it.
There's two camps of thinking. One is there's the console camp versus the PC gamer camp, which is a whole conversation around, people that want the keyboard and mouse. So let me ask you before we get into that question: would you like to have a keyboard and mouse on an Xbox 360, or are you okay with a controller? Just curious.
So the answer is, I'm going to give you the consultant's answer, and that's it depends.
Okay.
When it comes to first person shooters, my own personal preference is to use a keyboard and mouse.
Okay.
But I'll say this. On the original Xbox, there was a product that you could buy that allowed you to attach a keyboard and mouse.
That's right.
And I have that, and I actually felt really comfortable with it. But after a while, I started feeling like this really doesn't feel like I'm having that console experience. And
right.
It actually turns out that I stopped using it. I went back to using my controller. And I'm very comfortable with that.
Right.
There are definitely games where I feel like it makes much more sense to use a controller than it does to use a keyboard and mouse. And in fact, Microsoft has acknowledged that, of course, by us making the Xbox 360 controller for Windows available now, so you can plug that in and actually play wired games using your controller. So we have games that allow you to do that as well.
Okay, I'll ask the question. All of you out there listening, you're saying, but Dave, then why can't we plug our controller and mouse into the Xbox 360?
I'm not the person that really makes those decisions
right.
yet. There is one really interesting secret. I don't know how much your listeners know about this, but you can actually take a USB keyboard and plug it into your Xbox 360.
Yep.
Now, of course, you can only use it for simple text entry. So,
and in the dashboard.
And in the dashboard, yeah. And in fact, when people send me messages, sometimes I have this little roll-up keyboard,
yep.
and if I want to type in a longer message, I'll plug that in, unroll it, and then type the message out and send it to
you. Where do you store this thing?
It's a roll-up keyboard, right. So it just rolls up and sticks right next to the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I have my keyboard right here in the office. I mean, I love it, but it's just one of those things. And my impression was, from what I understand, is that it's really up to the game developers to decide if they wish to implement something like that.
That's correct, and I certainly don't expect to see that changing anytime soon. We love to get feedback on that. We love to hear from people who are doing or having a gaming experience and coming back and saying, you know what, this would really be better if I had a mouse and a keyboard. We like to hear that kind of feedback.
And it's almost the difference between a 3-foot experience sitting in front of your computer hunched over at your desk versus the 10-foot experience sitting on your couch with a wireless controller.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it really does vary. A great example, for instance, you know, it's really easy for me to think of, let's just use World of Warcraft.
Yep.
If that was available on the Xbox 360...
And it's not. We're not making an announcement.
No, we're not. We're not even making a hint.
We're not even making a hint, yeah.
So if that were available on the 360, I could see that would be extremely difficult to do because the experience that I would get would be dramatically diminished
right.
from the experience that I typically have inside of playing it on Windows. The reason being is because I'm using just about every key on that keyboard to do things. I'm moving my mouse around very quickly at the same time I'm hitting stuff on the keyboard. And I really don't see personally how I can kind of translate that experience into a good experience on the Xbox 360.
Right.
But I'll give you another example. It's a counterpoint. I don't know if the demo is out yet for Battle for Middle Earth 2.
Okay.
But I've had the opportunity to play it when I
was on the Xbox 360.
On the Xbox 360.
Okay.
When I was first told about the fact that there was going to be an RTS that was available for the Xbox 360,
you probably raised an eyebrow.
I did more than raise an eyebrow. I just said no. I just don't see how that could be a good experience. I had a chance to to sit down and meet with the lead developer, talk to her about what was actually being done, how it was built, and then to actually sit down and have the hands-on experience. And I was really very, very impressed. It was a lot of fun to play. It was a great translation of an RTS game into a console-based game, and I think that people are going to love it.
So the reason we kind of took a detour here, but I wanted to get back on track. I was asking about Vista, you know, Vista PC gamers versus Xbox 360 console gamers. And one of the areas you were talking about was graphics and the blue screen of death and how in Vista it's going to get better.
Yep.
That was one of the frustrating parts whenever I tried two frustrating parts. Whenever I tried PC gaming, and I've tried it many times in the past. I used to play World of Warcraft. There would always be a graphical problem. You know, whether or not I had the wrong driver, I had to go update. That was one problem. The other problem was really frustrating, and this is just drives me crazy. Even if I had the most brand new PC that I could buy, that I went out and bought, or Dell dropped off, or however, I had this brand new PC, there's no way I could ever run everything up at the maximum. You know, when you pull those little sliders up and everything's maximum texture. I never had a PC, even though it was brand new. I never had a PC, and it was just always frustrating for me.
That's why you should build your own PC.
I did build my own PC, and it was like, my God, I still can't run this thing full bore. And that's why I like console gaming, because you don't have to worry about that. You just drop it in and away you go.
Yeah, and of course that is one of the biggest reasons why consoles are so dominant in our living rooms.
Right.
You know, you have a very consistent experience when you buy an Xbox 360 and you take it out of the box and you plug it in and you plug it into your TV or your HD TV. You know the kind of experience that you're going to get. There's no variation in it. You don't have to sit there and think, did I get the fast CPU version or not? Did I get the good graphics card version or not?
Right.
There's never that kind of question. That's what makes the console experience so wonderful. What makes the Windows experience so wonderful is that the technology moves along with you. So let's use a game like Crysis by Crytek. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at what that game is offering now, if you look at the demo videos that it has, and you look at where they're going to be going with their DirectX 10-based parts,
yep.
You look at it and you think, oh my God, this is just beautiful. It's going to be a fantastic game. And the fact of the matter is that as time goes along, the technology that's built into the console is going to start to lag. Mm-hmm. And then at another point in time, we're going to have another type of console that'll come out and it'll catch up again with that technology or get a little bit of ahead.
Right.
And that's exactly what we've seen between the Xbox and the Xbox 360.
Yep.
And we'll see that with future generations as well. And that's okay. This is why my position is that I love them both. I mean, if you go to my house, you know, you'll see that I've got an HD TV, I have an Xbox 360, I have an Xbox, I have a PlayStation 2, mm-hmm. I have a PC, and they're all set up in that same general area, and I'm just a gaming fool.
Like, but you know, you don't have the PS2 on a HD TV. I mean, there's no reason to.
No, there's no reason for it, but it's just, you know, I that's just the way it's set up. And actually, to be quite honest, I don't play that one much anymore. I play a lot of 360 games, not as many Xbox games as well either. Most of them I just drop into my Xbox 360 now.
So you get an interesting preview into both the Xbox 360 portfolio and the Windows portfolio.
Yeah, I love my job.
So tell me about what you've seen coming out for both platforms that you're excited about. Because I mean, I've seen some stuff too. I'm just curious if you could tell me if you can tell me.
Well, you know, obviously you've already heard me hint at this for Windows.
Yep.
Crysis is just an absolutely beautiful game.
Yeah, we showed a little bit of that at E3.
Exactly. And in fact, I was really excited. I was the first person to have a public demo of what was unnamed at that time, but it was Crysis. And Jim Alchin, our president of Windows, showed that at PDC 2005. And,
interesting.
That was a bootleg video that was going around for quite some time.
Oh, so. That was you?
Yeah, yeah. So.
All right, right on.
No, I didn't put the bootleg video
on. No, but that was you on the video, for those of you doing a YouTube search.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the work I did with the Crytek folks.
Right.
Huxley is another great game that I'm looking forward to. Mm. Gears of War, totally...
Now, I haven't played that, but some people on the team, like you probably heard, E is our operations manager. He played Gears of War last week at a meeting, and he was just raving about it.
Yes, just beautiful.
Yeah,
just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And then the other layer. So let's talk a little bit about Live Anywhere.
Yes.
And what does that mean to you? I mean, because all of a sudden your worlds are now colliding. in a certain degree.
Hopefully it means that I can do things to increase my gamer score.
Oh, join the club. I need that too.
I'll take anything I can get. Really, Live Anywhere, we're still, you know, Live Anywhere is just this newborn child right now. And it's really, you know, aside from the fact that it's kind of, you know, kicking its legs and crying, we're still trying to figure out what it's going to grow up to
be. What is this thing?
Yeah, what is this thing? Exactly. We know who the mommy and daddy are, and we're just kind of curious what it's going to grow up to be. And there's not a lot more I can say about it. I mean, it's the whole idea is to be basically bring that live experience that those that are used to that you already get with Xbox Live on the Xbox, and bring a lot of that experience over into the Windows world, and to find some way of bringing those two together and giving a unified experience. I'm really excited to see where that's going to go.
What do you, you know, when you look at some of the work you do with some of these publishers, what are you hearing about the state of game development? I mean, we've all been hearing it's getting more expensive and it's difficult, but I mean, really, you work with these developers and the team that you work on, their goal is to make easy tools for the developers to develop. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it absolutely is. We as in Microsoft, work very, very hard to try and empower developers to be able to build, you know, games better, faster, cheaper. I mean, that's really what it's all about. But if you look historically at what the trend is right now, content is king.
Right.
That's really where it's at. So the biggest challenge that we have, and I think that we're going to have in the next several years, is how we can do things to simplify the job of the content creators and move some of these tasks into more procedural types of things. And a great example, for instance, is Oblivion. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the past, when you built games like that, you would have some content creator who would custom create these different trees. Well, what happened in Oblivion is that they used software that generated procedural content for these trees and literally generated thousands of these kinds of trees. And they're just very, very easy to drop into the game. And that's why you can see so much richness and so much variety in a game like Oblivion, is because of this procedurally created content. We expect to see this happen even more as we go, for instance, into DirectX 10-based games. You're able to build more procedural content. You're able to build things a lot more quickly using, like, geometry shaders. Mm-hmm. By doing that, you alleviate some of the needs for content creators to build those kinds of things. And in many cases, you allow them to kind of, for lack of a better analogy, they can kind of rough sketch a scene, and the procedural generation will actually take care of all the little details
for them. Fill in the blanks,
you know, put the pebbles in there and give them different shapes and colors and sizes, different types of physical behaviors and properties. You know, some pieces are, you know, stone, and other pieces are pumice or whatever the case may be. So they're all going to have different behaviors. No longer the content creator no longer has to worry about all those niggling little details. They can just kind of step back and focus on the entire scene and on the entire story.
So I have to ask this of you, and a lot of people are listening to you and saying, oh, you have a really cool job. So how did you get where you are? What's your background?
You know, I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. I've, spent 10 years in the military.
Oh, boy.
What
branch?
I was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. My first 5 years, I was a spy.
Oh, really?
My last 5 years, I was in software development.
Spy to software development.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting transition. After that, I kind of went out, and I wound up securing a job as one of the software architects for the space station training facility.
Wait a minute. The space station.
Yeah.
The one that's up orbiting the Earth.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So I was one of the architects for that. So
What was, I'm sorry, you just blew my mind. What was that like?
It was actually a lot less interesting than it might seem. You know, it's people ask me that all the time, and my response is this. I spent 4 years on that project working at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration down in Houston, Texas. And I want to emphasize the word administration.
Got it. You were pushing paper around.
It certainly felt like that. You know, it certainly felt like there were a lot of meetings and stuff.
Right.
My one only interesting part is that shortly after I got there, I had to one of my jobs was to completely change the way that software was developed down there on the project. Before we started doing this, people were writing stuff in Fortran. It was a very arcane approach. They had this, what they call this common memory area that everybody wrote into at the same time. It was an absolute mess. It was just horrible. And what we did was we wanted to bring in like this, you know, agile development type of stuff, modern object-oriented type of things. And it was extremely, extremely risky. And I remember standing in a meeting in front of Gene Kranz.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Gene Kranz.
The Gene Kranz. So if you've seen the movie Apollo 13,
yep,
that's the guy.
Okay.
Okay. So I was standing in a meeting. This was like about a year before he retired. He was still the head. He was the head guy at Johnson Space Center.
Yep.
And I remember briefing him on it. And he was just really exactly like in the movie. You know, he's just this imposing person who sits there and listens to you, is very critical. And then at the very end, he sits there and looks at you and says, "Can you do this?"
Right.
And I looked at him and I just kind of swallowed real hard and was like, "Yes, sir, we can." And he's like, "Good, do it." And that was the end of the meeting. That was it.
Right.
Good, do it. And so, and we did it. We were successful. Obviously, there's something up there flying now, and we're training astronauts. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, you were a spy.
Yeah.
Check.
I did that, and then
worked at NASA. Check.
I worked in NASA's virtual reality lab for about a year after that. Started doing a lot of graphics development stuff.
Also known as the holodeck.
It was kind of the holodeck. Yeah, it was. Okay. It was nice. It was. I worked in swing shifts, which was great because we weren't fighting for the really expensive graphics software, you know, computer systems.
Right.
All of the, you know, PhDs and stuff had left by that time, and so it was pretty much a playground for us, which was just great. Then I left, and I was a lead systems engineer for an F-16 flight simulator, and then for an F-22 simulator. Mm-hmm. Then I wound up getting into internet consulting and doing some web stuff. It just was riding that whole wave.
Then
Microsoft saw me talking about .NET stuff, and I got pulled in, and so I've been here for the last 4 years.
So I must ask you this question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know this, that you had worked on some flight simulators.
Yeah.
So do you use Microsoft Flight Simulator? Have you played with it and said, or is this,
I've played with it. So you know what? It's funny because you asked me about other games that I'm excited about.
Right.
Flight Simulator 10 is just beautiful.
Really?
I'm just blown away by what experience you're going to get once DirectX 10 hardware is available. You can drop it in there. It's just absolutely beautiful, and I think that they'll be showing some demonstrations of that at some conferences that we have coming up.
Yep.
It's been shown before already, so
right.
And it's just going to get better. So where was I at? I need to pop the stack here for a minute. So you asked me about Flight Simulator.
Right.
So the answer is no. I've used Flight Simulator before. I've played with it for a little bit. But you know what? The fact of the matter is that anyone that's used the Flight Simulator software pretty much learns the experience that flying is pretty boring.
Right.
And that's pretty much exactly where it is. I'm a gamer at heart. I've been a gamer since 1974 playing Pong.
Right.
I want action. I want things that are flying around.
I got to ask you a question, though. I must ask you.
Yeah, sure.
So what kind of games do they play at NASA? Come on, they've got the NASA's. They've got all these computers and whatnot back in the day. What were they playing?
You know what we played a lot was Tank Wars, which is on the Silicon Graphics machines.
Yep.
And played a lot of Space War as well. Yep. Space War is an interesting one. So I wrote, I took a version of, there's a version of Space War that's in my book on beginning game program.
Your book.
Beginning.NET game program.
So you have a book.
I do. I have two books, actually. They're variations on the same theme.
I need the links to those so I can put the links
up. I'll give you the links to them. That's not a problem. Space War is in there as well. So if you want to get that whole nostalgic feel for what that's like.
Yep.
And we're going to be offering that once we come out with the XNA framework for people to actually sit down and do stuff.
Right.
We'll be putting a version of Space War in there as well. So I'm pretty excited about that as well.
That is kind
of
cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm just a kind of a jack of, like I said, I'm a jack of all trades.
I love the NASA and the spy thing. To me, that's like every kid's going, "Whoa, he's a spy and he worked at NASA."
It sounds cool, but you know, it really, you know, it's the sad truth is that the jobs that seemed like they were the most interesting were the ones that actually were, to me, were the least interesting.
Yeah.
This job I love.
Right.
I I can't wait to get up in the morning
right.
and come into my job because it's something new every day, and right. I just love it. Right. I just love it. Keeps me young, too.
So I want to, you know, I'll put a link up to letskilldave.com, which is your blog.
And yes.
Again, your blog is really focused for game developers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, people aren't going to find out what the new game is that's coming on Marketplace. I take care of that stuff.
You do, but you know what? I also talk about games. For instance, yeah. You post like the top games on Xbox Live.
Yep.
One of the things I do as a counterpoint is just show the top, like about every month, I try to show the top 10 Windows games that are available
right.
just to kind of put that information
out
there.
Let's let people talk about it.
I do. I like to talk about gaming because I am a gamer at heart. The core of what my blog site is about, it's about game development. But if you look up at the top part of the Let's Kill Dave header, it talks about, you know, just game development and gaming.
Yeah.
And it's just because I think that they're all just, it's all one great big happy family.
So. Yeah, and agreed. That's why I wanted to get you in here is that, you know, you and I bumped into each other virtually in the virtual space. And now, now we're going to work even closer together with the Live Anywhere and all the rest of the stuff.
One big happy family.
But I just wanted to get you in here because it's right. You know, you and I talk to somewhat of the same audience, somewhat different audiences, but sometimes a lot of the same audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully some people that listen to this show will go over there and look at your blog. And maybe there's the next... You know, the next brilliant software developer is listening to the show right now. I'm going to go get excited about reading some of the stuff you have on your blog.
Absolutely.
But it's also, I'm sure you run into the same frustration I do, is that sometimes we can't blog about as much as we want to blog about. There's a lot of stuff we know that we can't talk about.
No. But I will give this part away.
Yes.
Read my blog on the 14th of August.
Okay. Duly noted.
Because... there's going to be a ton of stuff out there at that time.
Yeah. I will make that. I'm writing that
and
down.
And we should make a point of talking after the middle
will
of the
will you
August.
Come back and talk about what you're going to talk about?
No, I hate it here. Of course.
Dave, Let's Kill Dave. Letskilldave.com and Let's Kill Dave is your gamer tag. Dave, appreciate you coming by, man.
Not a problem, man.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
So there you go. The Major Nelson of the developer community. Swing over to letskilldave.com if you want to. Want to check Dave out and learn some stuff about developing games for PC or for the Xbox 360. And keep an eye out for on his site for that date that we were talking about a little earlier. So he's pretty technical. And Dave's, a spy working at NASA? Good God. How inadequate do I feel? Anyway, let's scoot ahead. We got a bunch of news to go over. One of the areas we want to go over is marketplace content, which ironic since everyone was waiting to hear about that. A couple things have come out this week. Well, a lot of things came out this week. There was a Chrome Hounds theme and picture pack. There's two Hitman picture pack and two new themes for Hitman Blood Money. Of course, there's the Prey demo, the much awaited Prey demo. There's a Topspin 2 Wimbledon. Topspin 2 Wimbledon demo. I'll talk about that in a second. A Call of Duty 2 Invasion map pack. This game with Fame trailers. There's some other map. There's a Pirates of the Caribbean damage chest. I'll talk about that at the end of the show. That trailer. Chrome Hounds demo. And the reason I was laughing earlier because it was you have to think of where I'm sitting. It was a comedy of errors this week for me. It was like a tragedy because. You know, everybody wanted to have the Prey demo, and all of a sudden, I put up a Chrome Hounds demo. That's not available in one of the largest markets, the United States. Why is that not the case? You know, can't answer that. It's up to the publishers. They decide where it is, and I actually have that in my Marketplace FAQ. They decide what markets to release it in. Is it going to be released in North America? I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. So I had to post on my blog that... that the Chrome Hounds demo was out. When I saw that and that it wasn't available in the U.S., Canada, or Mexico, I actually put my head on my keyboard in my office and said, I'm dead. They're going to kill me. Meaning you guys. And then to make it even further, on Thursday, when I had to post about the Topspin 2 Wimbledon demo, I just shook my head and I said, I'm done. I was afraid to walk to my car that night. It was pretty harsh. So anyway, some good content out this week. It's an understatement. There's actually some MotoGP 06 pictures and themes and some other cool stuff out there. So I don't know what's coming up because, like I say, as soon as I find out, I post about it. Don't know what the preview is for that. So enjoy that. So one thing I also want to mention out is Plantronics is doing a promotion right now where, talk about shifting gears, hopefully you're staying with me so far. Plantronics has a promotion right now where you can buy the Gamecom Halo 2 Edition headset, which is regularly $49.95 for $14.95, or you can buy the one with the communicator, which is what we used to call the Puck, which goes into the original Xbox controller. You can buy that for $19.95. So they're going quickly. So if you want one, I'll put the link on my blog, swingbytheplantronics.com, WAC Halo 2 site. That's what the cool kids say when they're talking about web stuff, WAC. So Halo 2, WAC. The other thing is the Call of Duty game content. I just talked about that in my Marketplace section. That's out. And I do need to download that, the Invasion Pack, which is 800 points. It was going to be 900 points, but it's 800 points. That's available. And, you know, I was thinking about this. A lot of people were talking about how, well, there's not a lot of games, because usually historically in the summer, it's kind of a quiet time for games to be released. And the, you know, I put Call of Duty 2 in again. I realized, you know, that's a great game. And the outfit, and you all know how I feel about the outfit. That was, that had an auto update that came out. So I want to get into that. And then Battlefield 2 had this auto update that fixed the voice a couple weeks ago. So I was playing some of that. I mean, there's actually some really cool, decent games out there that should get us through the summer pretty well. So, the other thing is, of course, the Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter content, which, well, I know how you feel about that with the pricing. A lot of people ask me how I feel about that, and I kind of looked at that and said, does it seem kind of high? Well, I guess I could see how some people think that. And then, of course, the market will bear. The market will do what it's going to do. So if you like it, you buy it. If you don't, well, you can always speak with your wallet. That's the beauty of the economy. Let's see, On10.net, the folks over at On10.net, they were actually at the EA Community Day that we did a couple weeks ago for Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-Earth 2. So you can meet some of the folks over there. So feel free to swing by the On10.net. I put a link on the blog last week for that, so you should see that. Also, there was a piece that, so I don't know where this was all about. It was just all about the fact that we were going to have a DVD. Xbox 360 was going to ship with an internal HD DVD. Well, the folks over at the Gamerscore blog, which is the PR blog, put a big kibosh on that one. So I don't know where that came from. But if you didn't hear about it, don't worry about it. You didn't miss much. Move along. Nothing to see here. We launched in Brazil. And there's actually an interesting story about how Microsoft and Atari have found a way to get people to play a pre-release version of Test Drive Unlimited, which they're calling the Massively Open Online Racing Game, M-O-O-R. Just what we need, more acronyms. But apparently the Brazilian national football team, which is soccer, is entertaining themselves by playing a prototype in a game lounge set up in a hotel by Atari. Anyway, it has debug kits, which are the test kits that they use to develop the game, loaded with Test Drive Unlimited, and they go out and play it. So they have fun with that. So I look forward to getting that. I don't know when Test Drive Unlimited is coming out. I know there was the demo that was out for E3. You can download a demo off the Xbox Live Marketplace. But check that out if you'd like. A lot of people have emailed me. Major@xbox.com is the email that I communicate with folks over. A lot of people have emailed me asking me what I think about Sony. And, you know, right after E3, I was talking about Sony, and people were kind of ragging on me because I was ragging on them, so I've decided I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I don't know what to make of them. You know, they're accusing us, Microsoft, of stealing ideas from them and some other kind of crazy stuff. And I'm just going to say that we'll see what happens. I'm watching what they do. There's a lot of interesting things going on over there in Sony PS3 land. And I'm just going to let the news be news. I want to focus on what we're doing, which is we're playing great high-definition games. And we're playing on Xbox Live, and we're having fun. So I'm watching what they're doing, but I'm not really getting obsessed with it. Although there was a note earlier this past week that said that the games are going to be quite expensive for the PS3. So that should be interesting. Earlier in the podcast, in my show, I mentioned, or blogcast, I mentioned that I was on Gamer Andy's show. He did a show Thursday night. Let me tell you how that went down. I don't know if you listened to it. I'll put the link on the blog. I was, you know, Thursday night, I was really bummed out because things were going crazy with the Prey demo and everybody wanted to know what was going on. And then I was basically having death threats against me. Yeah, it's not like I promised the date, folks. I had death threats against me, and it was getting a little crazy. I was really bummed out. And then we took the site offline to do the upgrade to a new version of the software that we run in the community server software, which runs the blog. And Gamer Andy emailed me. He's like, hey, do you want to come on the show tonight? Talk about shutting down your comments. I'm like, well, we just shut them down for a little while because we're doing an upgrade. And, well, let me call you. So I was late in the day. It was like 6 o'clock. I said, I'll call you on my way home. So I'm on my way home. I dial him up. I said, what do you want to do? He says, well, we're doing the show at 7. Do you want to come out and talk? I said, yeah, why not? I was feeling particularly, you know, kind of bummed out. And so I went on the show, and they kind of run a different type of ship than I do over here, for lack of a better term. But it was great fun to be on the show and just kind of hang out with those guys. I need to send them their Major Nelson headsets. I keep forgetting that. But they have the gentleman on their show who's basically the Sony fanboy. And I love talking to people like that because I want to know what's inside their head. I want to know what makes them tick and why, you know, why they think the PlayStation 3, and although he never said this, he was always hung up on PlayStation 2, so I got to give him that credit. Why he's a fanboy, and that's fine. I always want to know what makes these people tick. So thank you for having me on the show. It was definitely a lot of fun. So those are kind of the news headlines for the past few days. I'm sure there's a couple that I missed. I'm sure you'll email them to me. But what I want to do right now is I want to forge ahead and start playing. Let's do this week's episode of Name the Game. So if you don't know how Name the Game works, it's very simple. Go to my blog, left-hand side, you'll see a Name the Game FAQ. But let me tell you how it works very simply. I play an audio clip from an Xbox or an Xbox 360 game. The game must be released. It is not a pre-release or a demo. So I play a little bit of a sound clip. And then what you do is you email me, major@xbox.com is my email address. In the subject line, you put Name the Game, colon, and your guess. And then in the body, please put your gamer tag. Don't put any other information. And then I take all the correct answers and pull a winner, and the winner wins a cool prize, Plantronics Major Nelson headset. That's it. Simple, fun. We do it every week. And so let me roll the sound clip from last week. Here's last week's Name the Game. Yeah, that was pretty easy. A lot of people had a bunch of different guesses, but quite a few people did get it correct. That was, of course, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 06. That's right when he winds up and he cracks the ball and it just goes on for about a million miles. So that's what that was. And so thank you for everybody who emailed me. Of course, we had one winner. Let me open up my notes here and see if I can read his name. It's not like he hand wrote it, so what the hell are you talking about, Major? Let's see. His gamer tag is BSDing. BSDING. Congratulations, BSDing. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset. Well done there, my friend, which clears the path for a brand new Name the Game. So here's the Name the Game sound clip for this week. Ooh, it's a little bit harder. So if you think you know what that is, you know what to do. Drop me an email, major@xbox.com. One entry per person, please. Put Name the Game, colon, what your guess is, and then in the body, please put your gamer tag or your name. Also, you know, if you want to, you don't have to. If you want to tell me where you're from, because I always wonder where my listeners are. It's tough to track them. So I always think that's great. I always wonder, do I have any guys over there in Iraq that are listening to my show? I'd love to hear from you guys if you are. Do I have any people in China? Do I have any people in China listening to this show? There's thousands of people downloading, so it must be. Let's talk about some geeks and gadgets stuff. One thing that is that I posted on my blog was that the IE7 Beta 3 was released. You can go download that. I'm running that. That looks pretty good. Internet Explorer Beta 3. Another cool little application that I found, and you know what? I don't even know where I found it because I read so many websites each week. It's this cool application called Launchy. Go to launchy.net. And what you do is you hit your Alt key in the space bar on the keyboard, and it opens up this little window, kind of like the Run window. And you can type something in, like basically, you know, Internet Explorer or, you know, Outlook or whatever, and it automatically runs it. Basically, it indexes your start menu, and you can tell it where to index, and it'll do that. So it's kind of like the Run command, but it's a little different. So give Launchy a try, launchy.net. Also, does anybody out there know, for those of you that don't know, I have a Macintosh G5 in my office. Does anybody know a way to basically remote desktop from a Windows machine into the Mac? You follow? I know you can go from Mac to Windows, but I want to sit on my Mac laptop somewhere on campus and be able to access that Mac G5 in my office back at the office. So is that possible? I don't know if it is. I know some people say you can do it with command line, because since the Mac OS X is Unix. But I don't know if that's possible. So if you know of a way to do that, if you know what I'm trying to do, I think you can do it with Timbuktu, but good God, that's expensive. Are there any cheap outlets? Yeah, let me put that on there. Is there any cheap ways to do it? I went by the Apple store this weekend. I was looking at the new MacBooks, and there was this guy there who was showing me how Parallels work. And I talked about Parallels a couple of weeks. It allows you to run like Windows in a virtual machine inside of it. I gotta get me one of those MacBooks, man. Those are just cool. I don't know how my boss is gonna go for that, because I do need to get a new laptop. But hopefully I can get one. But anybody who's running the MacBook with Parallels, I know you guys have written me before. Apparently it works pretty well. So anyway, that's kind of my hardware thing right now. Is I love having the Mac in my office, and I'm thinking of getting one for the road, so that I can at least have Windows and Mac at the same time. Because I really want to try. Maybe producing a show in GarageBand. Which is the Apple, you need to run that on the Apple, so I can do the podcast on GarageBand, because I know a lot of you guys listening to these on iTunes, and I could make them a little bit better and a little bit cooler. But, you know, I always have the MP3 and the WMA version, so don't worry about that. Just trying to look for something new. You know, I've been doing this for a while, and trying to always come up with new and exciting things for you guys to stay enamored with and keep listening to the show. Yeah, I really wish I had a regular co-host. I know a couple of people have written in saying, hey, I wish I had a co-host. Well, you know what, I do too, but I haven't found a good one yet. That's why I have these guests on every week, because they're kind of like co-hosts, but they're not really. Let's see what else. Oh, also, don't forget, if you need a secure and assured hosting environment, check out my good friends at Centricom for all of your web serving needs. They help me out, and they're helping you out. I talked about this earlier. You'll notice there's some Google ads on the site right now. They're over there in the left column. And they're there because Lithion needs a new development machine. And I told them, well, let's put some Google ads up and see if we can get you some money to buy a new development machine. So go ahead and take a look at that if you want to see what that. Not that you don't have seen Google ads before, but please click on them if you want to. If you want, if you're interested in the services, if it makes sense. An upcoming show, I'm working on some cool stuff. Since it's kind of quiet now for the game space, I'm looking, and there's a lot of things are starting to heat up in the high def arena for high def DVD and Blu-ray. I want to get somebody from our Windows Media team on to talk about HD DVD. I know I had my HD TV expert on a few months ago, my friend Tyler. But I need to get somebody from the HD DVD camp on to talk about that. If anybody wants to come on and talk about Blu-ray, yeah, you can come on. But I know that I've got HD DVD experts on campus. So I'm going to work on that. And then after I have that discussion, we can talk about the format. And then maybe in a follow-up show, I will have somebody on to talk about not only HD DVD, but then again, the external HD DVD player. And that's what I want to talk about as well, because that's going to be kind of cool. All right. Let's see. I think that's really about it for this week. I appreciate you guys downloading this, and you know, you probably thought I wasn't going to do a show because I wanted to run away from all the demo fiasco stuff. And thank you for all the kind notes that people had sent me. It was great, very encouraging. And apparently, I'm the messenger, and the messenger often will get shot, as I have been. And it's interesting. I'm going to paraphrase a story that a friend of mine told me. He said, blogging, and this is, you know who told me this? This is Robert Scobel, who is one of the more vocal bloggers at Microsoft, who actually just left this past couple days ago. And he told me that, and this is very appropriate for July 4th. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But he said, blogging is kind of like carrying dynamite, or in this case, fireworks. Sometimes you're going to get a spectacular display that people are going to ooh and ah, and they're going to love you for. And other times you're going to get your hands blown off and your feet blown off, and you're going to get charred. And that's kind of the way I feel right now. Sometimes it's a great spectacular display, and sometimes I get my hands and feet blown off. But rest assured, I'm always going to do my best for you guys. I appreciate it, and just wish that we would have some more mature postings, but I know that you can't ask for everything now, can you? Anyway. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thanks to Dave for stopping by. Thanks to you for downloading the show, saying have fun, play fair, send feedback, and I'll talk to you next week. That's assuming I don't have another week like I had last week. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye. All right. So let me. So yeah, I was talking about. I went to the Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest premiere down in California last Saturday, and it was about a week and a day ago. That was a lot of fun. The reason I was there is my wife actually works in the entertainment business, and she got passes, and I was hanging out with the MSN folks, and got to meet Johnny Depp and all the stars, Kira and Orlando Bloom and all those crazy people. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. That's why, if not sure if you watched that cast, you may have seen me. There's actually a party today. I was talking about Scoble a little earlier. Since he left Microsoft, he's having a party over at his house, and he lives about a mile away from me, so I need to go see if he's need to go swing by his house. And really, when I saw that Chrome Hounds was not available in North America, I swear to God, I started banging my head on the desk and said, oh no, it was rough. Anyway, the good news is next week has to be better, right? It just can't possibly get any worse. It has to be better. God, I hope so. All right, I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.